in an article entitled "Unusual Christmas Traditions from Around the World: How Other Countries Celebrate Christmas." The author, Emma Salk, writes, "America isn't the only country to celebrate the birth of Christ or Christmas. Although other countries may celebrate the season, there are those that have similar customs to America's, but there are those whose way of celebrating is much, much different." And then she goes on to list a number of countries and how they celebrate Christmas. And I want to share some of those with you this morning. Some different, unusual Christmas traditions. For example, in Portugal, they celebrate with a huge meal called a cansada that they have on Christmas morning. And that's not so unusual. But they also, at that meal, set place settings for the dead. And they believe that, and they have a meal set out for the dead. And they believe through that tradition that they will bring blessings upon their home in the coming year. In Yugoslavia, the Christmas celebration begins 2 weeks before our celebration. And in Yugoslavia, they celebrate a little bit differently, in fact, completely differently than we do in America. On 2 weeks before Christmas, the children rush into their mother's bedroom and tie her feet to a chair. And then they chant, "Mother's Day, Mother's Day, what will you pay to get away?" Now, I know a lot of mothers that would pay a lot some days to get away. Well, they do this, and then the mother gives gifts to her children so that they'll let her loose from the chair. And dads don't get off easy on this either. For a week later, they do the same thing to their dad, and that's in Yugoslavia. You know, kids in America, we usually give them good things, goodies to eat, you know, like candy canes and Christmas cookies and chocolate. But in Greenland, kvæg is the order of the day. They eat kvæg. And it's a treat that most Greenland natives consider a delicacy, delicious. How many of you have ever heard of an auk? A-U-K, an auk. Oh, there's a couple. How many of you have ever eaten auk? Well, when I read this article, she didn't tell what an auk was, so I looked in the dictionary. An auk is a seabird, which is a chubby little seabird with short wings. Well, if you're in Greenland, what they do is they kill an auk, and they take its flesh, raw flesh, off of this seabird. They wrap it in seal skin, and they put it under a big rock until it is well decomposed, till it rots. And then they take it out, and on Christmas Day, they eat it. They eat auk on Christmas Day. A delicacy. Give it to their kids. It's so good. Auk. I think auk. You know what I think of? Ick. Ick auk. But that's what they do in Greenland. And many Americans, they don't think that they celebrate Christmas in Iraq. But you know, some Christian families in Iraq celebrate Christmas. But the way they celebrate in Iraq is a lot different from our traditions. Somewhat different. One of the children in the family will read the Christmas narrative. And all the family members sit around as they read with lighted candles. Then afterwards, they go outside and they start a big bonfire. And they wait until the bonfire kind of burns down, and then each of the family members jumps over the fire three times. And every time they jump over, they make a wish. And they believe when they do that, they're going to get their wishes. And that's how they celebrate. That's one of their traditions or customs in Iraq. And then, lastly, and I won't go through the whole list, but lastly, in some parts of Wales, in the country of Wales, a person hides under a horsehair sheet to celebrate Christmas. And then that person and his groupies or his friends go out into the streets, and they take with them a horse's skull on a stick. And then they go up, and the person that's under the horsehair takes the skull and starts nipping people. They go around finding people. They can find you. They nip you. And if you get nipped, you got to pay a fine. I don't know. It didn't explain why. Maybe to stop nipping. I don't know. But that's how they celebrate one of their customs in Wales, how they celebrate Christmas. Now, the author concludes her article saying this: "This Christmas, you may think about how others celebrate Christmas. If so, be glad you don't live where they do. The thought of being nipped by a horse's skull, eating rotten flesh, or celebrating dinner with place settings for the dead doesn't sound much like a celebration." And all of us say, amen. Amen. Doesn't sound too good to me either. Well, this morning I want to just ask the question, how should a Christian celebrate Christmas? I don't care where you are in the world. I don't care if you're in Wales or China or Europe, France. If you're down in South America, up in the North Pole, and you're a Christian, how should you celebrate Christmas? And to answer that, take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I want to look today with you at verses 8 through 20. And we see there in Luke 2, 8 through 20, the first Christmas celebration, the birth of the Lord, and how after he was born, how the people around him and the persons and the beings around him celebrated that first Christmas. And I think we can learn a lot of lessons from this. But I want to read these verses, beginning in verse 8 of Luke 2. It says, "In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and watching over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.' When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they came in hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them." Now again, in those verses, we have the first Christmas, and we have how I believe people celebrated that first Christmas. And I think we can learn lessons. How, wherever you are in the world, these are ways that you should celebrate Christmas. First of all, We should celebrate Christmas worshiping the Lord. Amen? Worshiping the Lord. We see that in verse 13, 14, and verse 20. We actually have two examples of those who worshiped Christ that first Christmas. First of all, verses 13 and 14, look there. The angels are our example. It says, "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.'" You see there? The angels that were present that first Christmas worshiped God, giving him praise, glory, the night that Jesus was born. They knew how to celebrate Christmas. They knew that to celebrate Christmas was to worship God. Only God could pull off what he did that first Christmas. Amen? Only God could pull off the incarnation. And he deserved, therefore, to be honored and worshiped. And the angels knew it, and they did it. Another example is found down in verse 20. And that's these shepherds. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. I love that word, glorifying. Glorifying. Originally, that word meant in the Greek, it meant to have an opinion. Later, it came to mean to have a good opinion. And then later on still, it came to finally mean a person's true worth. True worth. The noun that is associated with this, which is found up in verse 14, when the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest," the glory, that's the Greek word doxa, from which we get our word doxology, which means to praise God. Doxology is to praise. We get our word from that orthodox, which means to have a right opinion. Now think of this with me. When a person has a right opinion about God and acknowledges God's true worth, worthship, and gives God praise, what are we doing? Worshiping God. When you have a right opinion about God, and when you understand his true worth, I'll tell you, the only right response to that, only appropriate response is to worship him. Amen? The story's told about a lady, a mother, who was having a gathering to celebrate the birth of her newborn son. She invited a bunch of her friends over to celebrate his arrival. She welcomed her guests, and they had a great time celebrating, eating, drinking. And after a while, one of the ladies said, "Well, you know what? How about bringing the baby out? Let's see the little fella." And the mother went to the crib to get the baby. And lo and behold, he wasn't there. I'll tell you what, fear. Moms, remember, fear filled her heart. A dread. What happened? Then she remembered. She left the baby over at her parents' house that morning. The baby was over at her parents' house. The one that they had come to celebrate, they had forgotten all about. Do you know what? Sometimes people do that today, don't they? The one that we celebrate today, the one that we celebrate, Jesus Christ, sometimes is just forgotten. In all the celebration, people forget that he is the reason for the season. Now, just a little application. It is appropriate that we are here this morning. It's right that we are here this morning. Christmas hasn't fallen on a Sunday since 2005. Christmas has only fallen two times on a Sunday in 17 years. And I'm going to tell you, folks, it is right that we're here. Do you know some churches canceled service today? Because they didn't want to interfere with the celebration of Christmas. I don't get that. I'm sorry. I don't get that. And I'm going to tell you, some churches said, we're going to have Christmas Eve service and Christmas Day service, and we're going to do the same service. So you can choose which one you want to come to. I don't get that. I'm sorry, I don't. Because this is his birthday. He's the reason. He's the reason we're here. And I want to just say, parents, thank you. Thank you for bringing your kids here today. Because you know what you're doing? You're teaching them the real reason of Christmas. Because we've come to worship him. And it's appropriate that we're here. You know, the wise men came. What did they say? Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And they made their way to the baby, and they fell down before him, and they worshiped him. I'll tell you, I don't care where you are. I don't care if you're in the United States, over in Europe, over in South America, in Africa, wherever you are. If you're going to celebrate Christmas the way God would have us celebrate Christmas, that would please the Lord's heart, worship the Lord. Second lesson we learn from this. How should we celebrate Christmas? We should celebrate Christmas by seeking the Lord. By seeking the Lord. Verses 15 and 16. You know, all the people we see associated with the Christmas stories sought the Lord. The wise men sought the Lord. And wise men still seek him. But we see in our account here in Luke, the shepherds, after receiving the birth announcement from the angel. You know, people, they didn't have Facebook back then. I know, kids, it's hard to understand that. But they did not. It amazes me. You know what amazes me now? Somebody has a child, 20 minutes, maybe, I don't even know if it's 20 minutes, later, you see the child on Facebook. It used to be you had to send out like birth announcements, like, and it might be 2 weeks. Oh, they had their baby a month ago? Oh, my. Boy, that, praise the Lord, you know. Not anymore. It's on Facebook, man, 20 minutes. Well, they didn't have Facebook back then, kids. They didn't. They really didn't. And so they had to, like, use an angel. An angel came and said, like, he's born! He's born! And once they got the birth announcement, what'd they do? What'd they do? When the angel had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. In that barnyard bassinet, there he was. They sought him. How'd they seek him? Well, first of all, they sought him believingly or expectantly. Verse 15, they believed what the Lord had made known to them through the angel. And we know that they did because they didn't look at each other. And when the angel, can you imagine what that would have been like on that night? If the angels came and it's a night like any other night, and all of a sudden, psh, there's an angel, and then the sky is bright, and there's an angelic host, and then all of a sudden, it's gone. And it's night again. Did we really see that? Were we dreaming? They didn't say that. They didn't even say, you know, let's go to Bethlehem and see if what the angel told us is really true. What'd they say? Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that the Lord has done. I'll tell you, they sought Jesus believingly. They sought him expectantly, expecting to find. You know what? When you believe, it makes Christmas celebration altogether different, doesn't it? I mean, our celebrating this day is different than non-believers. Now, let me just say something. I love Christmas. I'm not one of these people that say, oh, Christmas, that's a pagan holiday. You know, all these things. I love Christmas. You know, and I don't think there's anything wrong with a lot of the traditions we have, you know, of, you know, getting together with family. That's wonderful. What a blessing that is most of the time. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. What, you know, to have a tradition, you know, to go out and cut down your own Christmas tree, you know, and then bring it back to the home and decorate the tree. I love that. I love lights. We decorate our house and we put lights on our house. And, you know, I like it. I really do. All the things that you do and going out and being with family and eating and just, you know, Christmas is a lot of fun. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. But, you know, as a believer, it's so much more. It's so much more than all of that stuff. It's a time when we come and we seek the Lord. We seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. You know, we're reminded He actually came. God, we are the visited planet. There's no other galaxy, no other solar system, no other planet in all of the universe that we know of that Jesus visited. He came here. Emmanuel. And we have the privilege, you know, at Christmas time, it's so neat to seek the Lord. You know, when you seek Him, believingly, expectantly, what wonderful fellowship you can have with the Lord at Christmas. It's wonderful. They sought Him believingly and expectantly, and they sought Him wholeheartedly, didn't they? Do you see it there in verse 16? They came in a hurry. Now again, at Christmas time, we think of hurrying, don't we? I mean, people are hurrying here and there, hustle, bustle. We're going here, we're going there. It's a time when people are in a hurry. Tell you what, the other day I almost got hit because it came to a stop sign and I waited for two people that stopped there at the stop sign and they went and then I started going and another guy drove, phew, didn't even pump his brake in a hurry. People are all in a hurry. But you know what? The first Christmas there was hurry. But it wasn't hurry to the mall. It was hurry to the manger. They hurried to seek Christ. Wow, that's good Christmas hurry. Folks, that's a good Christmas hurry. It signifies that they came wholeheartedly. They came eager to find the one who was born a Savior, Christ the Lord. And folks, as we seek Him, and I hope you've been doing that already, as we seek Him, we need to believe His promises. Because you know what He promises us? You will seek Me and you will find Me when you seek Me with all of your heart. We can find Him. They found Him. Do you know what? We can find Him. As we seek Him with all of our heart. Folks, seek Him in His Word. What a privilege it's been in the mornings with my wife to just read through the Christmas accounts in Luke and in Matthew and just meditate on those and pray over those accounts. I'll tell you, I don't care where you are. I don't care if you're in Nepal or if you're up in the tundra up in Canada. I don't care if you're down in the South Pole. I'll tell you what, you want to worship, you want to celebrate Christmas the way we're supposed to? First of all, worship the Lord. Second of all, seek the Lord. And third of all, we should celebrate Christmas by telling others about the Lord. in verse 17. Do you see it there? It says, when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. You know what? They couldn't shut up. They couldn't keep quiet. They made known the statement. What statement? Statement up in verse 10 and 11. When the angel said, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Now, great joy, you know what that is in Greek? Mega joy. Mega joy. We've got a message. They said it's mega joy message. That's the message we have. It's mega joy. And which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there is born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You know, oh, what a wonderful time. What a beautiful time Christmas is for telling other people the mega joy message of the gospel. It's the mega joy message that God loved us so much that he sent his son. He gave his son. And Christ was born into this world so that he could grow up and die for our sins. That's a mega joy message. And folks, there are people that you're going to be spending time with today that need that message. They need to have the message. You know what they need to know? God did this for you. Jesus was born 2,000 years ago for you. That's how much God loves you. And you can know him through Jesus. What a message! If we're going to celebrate Christmas the way the original folk did, and the way that'll bless God's heart, go out today and tell somebody about Jesus. Go out and tell them about the Lord. That's how. I don't care where you are in the world. I'll tell you, people everywhere need the Lord. Amen? And we need to go out and tell them. What a wonderful time Christmas is to do that. And then lastly, if we're going to celebrate Christmas, we need to worship the Lord. We should seek the Lord. We should tell other people about the Lord. And fourth, we should celebrate Christmas by wondering and pondering the Lord. Wondering and pondering. Verse 17 says, when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And then on verse 18, it says that they wondered. All who heard wondered. You know, Christmas is a time of wonder. For children, Christmas is a time of wonder and expectation. 3 weeks ago, so cute, a little girl here in the church came up to me, and she came over and she threw her arms around me and gave me my hug, and then she started going like this. She started jumping up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. I said, what's wrong? She said, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. And I said, well, what are you so excited about? 21 days to Christmas. You talk about wonder and excitement. You know, the expectation. Verse 18 says, they wondered. All who heard wondered. Amplified Bible says, we're astonished and marveled. You know, all of God's works are a cause for wonder. You know, sometimes we grow up and we lose wonder. Oh, I hope you haven't done that. But to be able to go out, folks, on a star-studded night and just look up and go, wow. Or sometimes when we have service at night and we're coming in the parking lot, I don't know if you ever look over and see the beautiful sunset. And several of you have, and I've been coming in, and I said to you, you know what? My father painted that. And then you said, no, sir, my father did it. I said, no, my father painted that. And you wonder. You look at creation. Creation is a cause of great wonder. All of God's works are cause of great wonder. But above all of God's works are marvelous. But that which should evoke the greatest amazement, mega wonder, is the incarnation of the Son of God. Incarnation of God's Son. You know, as we contemplated last night, I loved the service last night. I really did. Some of you were here. But we took a look at the wonder of the incarnation. How the God who is immense, who is his ubiquitous, fills all things, the God who is infinite, became tiny. And how the God who is almighty and could speak forth creation with a word and holds all together with the word of his power. The God, that God, became weak and helpless. And we pondered last night how God, who is self-sufficient, self-existent, independent, the God who said, you know what, if I had a need, I wouldn't tell you because I own the cattle on a thousand hills. But that God who never had a need, never, from all eternity, never had a need, became needy and dependent. And that God, who was the Word of God from all eternity, the master communicator, the one who was the Word made flesh, is lying in a manger speechless. Without a word. And the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. I tell you what, folks, may we never lose the wonder of Christmas and the incarnation of Christ. They all wondered, but down in verse 19, Mary treasured these things and pondered them. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And pondering is certainly connected with wondering and amazement. It actually begins with them, but pondering goes far beyond wondering. Pondering implies a diving beneath the surface, striving through the Holy Spirit to understand more fully the mystery of godliness, the mystery of God being manifested in the flesh. To really enjoy the wonder of Christmas, we've got to take time to ponder. Even more, make time to ponder. You know, St. Augustine was a man, a great thinker, great meditator, and he took time to ponder, and he wrote these words. Listen to these words. He wrote, "He it is by whom all things were made, and who is made one with all things, who is the revealer of the Father, the creator of his mother, the Son of God by the Father without a mother, the Son of Man by a mother without a father. The Word who is God before all time, the Word made flesh at a fitting time, maker of the Son, made under the Son. Ordering out all ages from the bosom of the Father, hallowing out a day of today from the womb of the mother, remaining in the former, coming forth from the latter, author of heaven and earth, sprung under heaven out of the earth, unutterably wise, in his wisdom, a babe without utterance, filling the world, lying in a manger, O food and bread of angels, the angels are filled by thee, but where art thou for my sake? In a mean lodging, in a manger? He rules the stars, sucks at the breast. He who speaks from the bosom of the Father is silent in his mother's lap, but he will speak when he reaches suitable age, and he will fulfill for us the gospel. For our sakes he will suffer. For our sakes he will die. As an example of our reward, he will rise again. He will ascend into heaven before the eyes of his disciples, and he will come from heaven to judge the world. Behold him. Lying in a manger. He's reduced to tininess. Behold the incarnate Christ. Oh, ponder that. Think about that. How should a Christian, wherever we are, how should we celebrate Christmas? I'll tell you what, I'm going to say this today, and I don't know if I have to say this to you, but, you know, in your meal today, don't set any places for the dead. And please don't eat ock. And don't be nipping at people. I mean with a horse's skull. But you know what? Celebrate Christmas by worshiping the Lord. Seeking the Lord. Celebrate Christmas by telling somebody else about the Lord. And take some time to wonder and ponder the mystery.